I don't know about you, but in Ashford Church, we love having children around. It's fantastic. Thank you. That's great. And actually, we love in church being part of a family, don't we? So it's not just the younger children, but those of us who are a little bit older as well, of course, are incredibly welcome too. And I'm so grateful that I'm part of a church where the old and the young get on so well. We don't have any fallouts, do we? Always peace and harmony. And the truth is that whatever our family background, our family unit, our current circumstances, we want church to be a place where everyone is welcome. And of course, Jesus loved children too. In fact, he told his disciples not to send them away when families were coming to him asking Jesus to pray for their children, to pray a blessing on them. In fact, Jesus not only welcomed children, he went even further. He said to his disciples, listen, if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, you need to become like a child. And Jesus wasn't looking for childish people. How many people know some childish people? You can still be childish even when you're a little older. But actually, he was saying that in the same way as children have a wonderful humility and a simplicity, that's the way that we need to be to enter God's kingdom. And is it just me, or is it harder as you get older to continue to have that simple kind of faith that children have? How many people can remember what it was like to be 4 years old? Can anyone here remember? There's three of us who can remember. Is everyone fairly confident that one day they were 4 years old? Is everyone... Okay, well, I'm not sure I can particularly remember, but Paul has written a brilliant song that describes something of what it was like when he was four. No, it wasn't really when you were four, was it? Anyway, this is a great song. Let's listen to this.
Oh, I wish that I was four. I'd get to dress up more. I'd spend more time outdoors. I wouldn't have to pay the bills, and I'd get cowpo when I'm ill. I wish that I was four. Oh, I wish that I was four. I'd be more self-assured. It would be cute when I snored.
Yes, it would.
We'd be princesses and kings, and you could push me on the swings. I wish that I was four. We'd play games, you'd let me win. I'd have ketchup with everything. Oh, I wish that I was four. I'd see no rich, no poor, sit cross-legged on the floor. Silly things would make me laugh. Instead of showers, I'd have baths. I wish that I was four. Oh, I wish that I was four. I'd get out of all the chores, I'd be ignorant of wars. But I have long grown past the size when I could have a shoulder ride, so I wish that I was four. Runny nose, I'd use my sleeve. You'd say it's true, and I'd believe you. Cup, and I'll not hurry to grow up. I wish that I was four. Oh, wish that I was for, it would be simpler, I'm sure. Oh, for cynicism's cure. We'd be quickly reconciled and I could trust just like a child. Oh, I wish that I was four. I wish that I was four.
Brilliant. Isn't that a brilliant song? I love the line that says, you would say something, I would just believe. That's what childlike faith is, isn't it? Here's a story. I found this. It's called Nike's. I think it's Nike's. It used to be Nike, didn't it? But these days, I'm pretty sure it's Nike's and mustard seeds. They were Nike baby shoes. Little, white, leather athletic shoes with a sky blue swoosh on the sides. The cost? £47. I really couldn't afford the shoes, but I bought them anyway, which made them more precious. I cleaned them, I polished them. I loved those little Nike shoes. One day, my kids and I decided to go on a hike. My son was 5. My daughter couldn't walk well, so I carried her in a backpack, which is mentioned in the song. I laced the prized Nike shoes tightly onto her squirmy soft feet, and we set off on a beautiful fall day. Taking a hilly trail through a grove of oak trees, we hiked up and down, and my daughter laughed and pointed her fat little fingers at the birds and butterflies as she bounced along in the backpack. My legs strained as we climbed the steep, hilly trails, and the air grew warmer as we passed through bright breaks in the forest. Finally, we came to the trail's end, sweating, tired, and ready for a break. As I stood in the shade, taking a few deep breaths, I felt my daughter's little squirmy foot rub along my back. That felt strange. It was soft, too soft. I looked down, and my heart gave a jolt. I saw a little pink leg, a soft white sock, no shoe. I turned around, frantically scanning the ground around and beyond, up the trail. Nothing. The dirt was a dusty red, so the polished white shoe should easily stand out. I should be able to see it, but I couldn't. I began to breathe a little harder. What if I couldn't find it? I took a few hesitant steps up the trail as my daughter joyfully kicked. She thought we were continuing on our hike. Feeling distinctly joyless, I felt my throat tighten and my chest hurt as I realized how difficult it would be to find her shoe if she'd kicked it off into the thick ivy that wound along the sides of the trail. My mind took off in endless whirls, a new worry with every step. What if I can't find the shoe? I love those shoes. There's no way I can afford to buy a new one. What will my husband say? Then I stopped, stood, fretted. That's when 5-year-old Ethan spoke. His clear, earnest gaze smoothed away my frown. Mummy, why don't we pray? That was it, so simple. Ethan and I held hands and prayed together in the woods. God, we lost Thea's shoe. We can't find it anywhere. We don't know what to do. Please help us. If my son's faith was a mustard seed, then mine was a dust mite. I said the words, but I didn't trust. Ethan did. We grown-ups play at faith while children practice it. Besides being practical, Ethan's faith was also immediate. A friend once told me he was asking God for now faith. The phrase caught my attention. I didn't recall ever seeing now faith in the Bible. Smiling, he'd read Hebrews 11, verse 1 to me. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. If we live by faith, we must be ready to act on it. God calls us to immediate, ready for battle, now faith. Back in the woods, I didn't have now faith. After Ethan and I prayed, I opened my eyes, outwardly calm, but with worry hiding underneath the surface of my emotions, like an oily river tainted with unbelief and cynicism. Then, in the dark of the woods, I saw something. 50 yards away, a column of light broke through the trees, a ray of sunshine that penetrated the tangled branches of the old oak forest. The ray gleamed, transforming the slowly rising dust into particles of floating gold. It was so bright that the surrounding forest grew even darker. But it was what the dazzling ray of sunlight illuminated that caught my eye. The lost shoe. It lay on its side in the red dust, gleaming, the center of gold, of a golden circle. I was speechless, at once amazed at the miracle and ashamed of my doubts. I ran towards the precious shoe, my heart full. My 5-year-old wasn't fazed. He of the towering faith thought it was no big deal. It was as if he knew the shoe would be there, lying in the red dirt, cradled in a circle of light. I needed to know that day the smallness of my faith. I needed to see now faith in action. I needed a miracle that day, and I got one, thanks to Ethan. I like that story, because childlike faith is an encouragement to me. I don't think childlike means that we switch off our brains and don't pursue growing our understanding. There's some pretty big questions, aren't there, about God, life, the universe, and a few others. And there's nothing wrong with asking tough questions. But childlike faith doesn't require all the answers or all the understanding to know how everything works. Childlike faith is just happy to know that it works. So Jesus talked about childlike faith. And that's in that story that I just read then, it also referred to mustard seeds, which was another reference that Jesus made to faith. And in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus' disciples are having trouble dealing with an evil spirit in someone's life. And Jesus says this to them. He says, "You don't have enough faith. I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." And Jesus seems to be saying to his disciples, and therefore to us, that it's not the size of our faith that's important. Perhaps what he's saying to his disciples, though, is that it's important to have faith that grows. Jesus' disciples would have understood that as well as a mustard seed being really small, it's also one of the fastest growing seeds. I'm not really a gardening person, but I'm just looking at my friends who know things about seeds, and they are all nodding at me that mustard seed is one of the fastest growing seeds. So maybe Jesus is saying to his disciples, not only is the size of your faith not the most important thing, but actually part of it is having a faith that will grow. And if you have faith that can grow like a mustard seed, then whatever the mountain that you face, your faith will be part of helping you move it. So I've got a couple of questions this morning. How many people here this morning would like to have faith that grows like a mustard seed? Different question. How many people would like to see God do something that is impossible? Anybody else? There's a few people, yeah, nodding. Yes, please tell me, Matt, how do you do this? What happens? Well, of course, if we want to see God do something impossible, we have to have an impossible situation. How many people would like to have an impossible situation? Anyone want to take back their first answer to the previous question? But the truth is that it's through challenges and impossible situations that our faith grows, isn't it? So faith is like a mustard seed, but faith is also like something else, Dom. This is my friend Dom. You can give him a little round of applause if you like. Because when I was thinking about faith, as well as it being a mustard seed, Faith is also, says it here, faith isn't a pill we take, it's a muscle we use. And I think you'll agree that Dom is not a man without muscle. It's not something that we don't want you to get proud of it, Dom, but just show us those muscles for a minute, yeah? He's a little bit shy, but just have a look. Just have a look here. And now tense them. Oh. So the thing about faith is actually it's something that grows. And in the same ways, you can get cracking, Dom. Yeah, that's fine. Dom's going to do this now for as long as I talk. Just having a drink, Dom. I won't be long. The truth is, our faith is like one of Dom's muscles. And it's through, those of you who are fitness fanatics will know that it's through what we call resistance that actually muscles grow. Yeah, look, you see, I've got all my gardening friends are nodding, and now all my fitness friends are nodding when I talk about resistance. It's good to have people who nod. Do you know that? Nodding friends, not noddy friends. That's right. Yeah, keep going, Dom. You're doing well. And just to finish, I want to read one of the passage out of the Bible. It's a really long one, Dom. And if you've got a Bible and you want to follow, I'm just going to look at something for a moment in Romans, in the book of Romans, chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be on the screen. You can follow along. But in this passage, the Apostle Paul is talking about faith. And it says this in verse 16. And sorry, just to give the context. Paul is talking about Abraham, famous biblical figure in the Old Testament who is connected with faith. God gave Abraham a promise that he would be the father of a great nation. Keep going, Dom. But the problem was that Abraham's wife Sarah couldn't have children. So Abraham had this issue where he had a promise from God, but he also had a wife who couldn't have children. And this is what Paul is talking about here in this chapter. So it says this: so the promise is received by faith. That's the promise that Abraham had from God. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Creates new things out of nothing. Now that requires some faith. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will count us as righteous if we believe in him. The one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Doing okay? Are you ready to stop? Okay, well, why don't we thank Dom? I think he's done a great job this morning. This is where a small child comes and picks them up with a finger and walks across in the pantomime. But I love this passage. You see, Abraham had a promise, but he also had a problem. And what Paul says here, he says, Abraham's faith didn't weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. I guess that's kind of a polite way of putting what his body was capable of. And so was Sarah's womb. But Paul tells us that Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, and this is the bit I really love, tells us that his faith grew stronger even in the face of the problem. And in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And I don't know about you, but sometimes this doesn't always happen for me, because often if I have a problem or I have an issue or I have a mountain, then normally if I'm praying or I'm asking God for something, some help, then actually often if I'm not seeing some change or seeing something happen, then often my faith goes this way rather than this way. But I believe that actually what God has available for us is mustard seed faith that grows. And even as we face the mountains in our lives, it's actually possible for our faith to grow. I love the fact that Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. How many people would like someone to write a journal about you and say, Matt's faith never wavered in believing God's promise? And I don't know this morning as I'm talking whether you can identify mountains in your life. Maybe there are circumstances, maybe there are issues that you would identify and say, yep, that's a mountain. Well, I'd like us to pray as we, in a moment, and I want us to believe together that if God has said something, that we can believe in it and we can choose the challenges. Allow the challenges to grow our faith. We've already talked about being family together, and some of you will be aware, those of you who are part of Ashwood Church, we have a system where we, if there are people in need of things, that we pray together. And so we send emails round and we remind ourselves of things that as church, as family together, we want to pray about. And so some of you will know Rita's situation, and if you don't know, doctors have discovered a tumour in Rita's body, and it's not good. And as church, we want to stand with Rita and to pray, and with her family as well. And in fact, yesterday a group of us joined together with Rita to pray for her and for her family. And one of the things that we prayed was that in Rita's life, that Rita would be filled with joy rather than fear. Because how many people know that when you're faced with a mountain, a real in-your-face mountain, that actually often our response, human beings, our natural response is fear, isn't it? And yet, there's something about God's faith that grows within us. That means that actually we can find joy rather than fear. And our prayer yesterday for Rita and my prayer today is that Rita will know joy instead of fear. And the great thing in this story about Abraham was he didn't deny the truth about his situation. He didn't pretend that it wasn't the case that he and Sarah couldn't have children. He didn't deny the facts, but he faced the facts while still embracing the promise that God had given him. And there's something that we can learn from that, isn't there? And by the way, let's be careful and sensitive. You know what families are like. Sometimes we can say things that are unhelpful. Let's make sure that as we pray and stand together with Rita, that we are careful about what we say. And Rita wants to still have normal conversations with people about normal stuff. Don't you, Rita? Absolutely. So let's be careful, but let's believe in faith. And maybe this morning you're saying, well, I don't really understand what you're talking about, Matt, but perhaps I'd like to give this faith a try. God has no problem, you know, with us asking questions. God has no problem with us having things that we don't understand. In fact, I'd be surprised if there's anyone in this room who doesn't have questions or things that they don't understand this morning. But I want to encourage us this morning to be people who have growing faith in our lives. I remember a time when someone was talking to me, and they said, Matt, I've got an illustration or a picture of something that I think God is speaking to you. And I said, okay, that's interesting. What's that? And they said, I had a picture of a dummy. I think you can still call them that, can you? Or have we changed? I think in America they're called soothers, aren't they? Something like that. Pacifiers. Pacifiers, yes, pacifiers. Anyway, you know what we're talking about. One of the little plastic things. And he said, Matt, I have a picture of one of these, and I think God wants to remind you how important it is that you stay childlike. And I've remembered that because, like I mentioned earlier, as I get older, it's easy for me to either through disappointments or clever logic of human thinking. Those of us who are men, sometimes we like to explain everything scientifically, don't we? But actually, the thing that God requires, or God's asking for, is that we have faith which looks very much like children. So I wonder if, just as we finish, and Paul's going to lead us in one song, and the band can join him if they'd like to. I wonder if we just close our eyes for a moment, and perhaps you can just have a quick conversation with God. Again, there's no pressure here this morning. Plenty of people around who are happy to have conversations about any questions that we have. But I believe this morning that it's possible through God's Holy Spirit for us to have a faith which looks at some of our challenges, our situations, and declare some truth over them. So this morning we are praying for you. If you find yourself in a situation where there's a mountain in your life, maybe there is something physical, maybe there is a sickness or a disease. You know, as a church community, we've have some stories of people who've been healed of things that were physically wrong with their body. It's also true that we've prayed at times and we've not seen some of those people healed of things. And And this is where sometimes we get confused, because we think that things don't happen because we didn't have faith. Whereas actually our job is just to have faith. And whether things happen the way that we expect or the way that we would like them to, it's really up to God. That's why it's a miracle. That's why it's something that we can only pray for and we can't achieve on our own. But with our eyes closed this morning, why don't we... I'm just going to pause for one moment so that you can have a moment with your thoughts, and maybe you have something that you specifically want to remember before God this morning. That's great. Maybe you're simply saying this prayer. Maybe you're simply saying, God, if you're there, make yourself known to me. Now, you know, that requires some faith. So I'm going to be quiet and then we'll pray.